so much we can say about, I can say about them. Mom and Dad, we just love you so much today. Thank you for the heart for saying yes to the Lord, and that we get to be a part of that yes. Thank you for listening and hearing from God to give you direction. And I often hear you say you just try to hear from God and be led by His Spirit. So we thank you this morning, because when we look around in this building, and not only this building, but 8-7 other campuses, look what the Lord has done because of your yes. Can you give them a hand clap of praise as they come? We honor you. We honor you today. So just be free to just give us what God has given you today. Amen.
Amen. Can we give this amazing woman of God, give her a good hand. We love you.
Love you too.
We love you. Good. You're beautiful. Hi, you may be seated. It is so good to be here with you, and I think your pastor is crazy about his wife. He takes after his spiritual dad, you know, because I'm crazy about this woman. And it's a good thing to be married a long time and be madly in love. We proved to an unbelieving world that it can happen. It can happen. Another thing that we proved to an unbelieving world in what God has done at Victory Christian Center, one church, many locations, is, you know, we're of different shades of skin today, and they tell us we're not supposed to get along. They tell us we're not supposed to love each other and be in unity. But in Christ, we are one. Because it's not about the race or nationality or gender or background or any of that. Jesus, His prayer, His longest recorded prayer, John 17, is that we would be one in Him. Not in a denomination, not in a race or a political party. God help us. I was so glad when the elections happened, we didn't have to put up with those commercials anymore.
Yes, yes, yes.
Maybe y'all like those commercials. You're sick. I can tell you, you're sick. You need counseling or deliverance. If you just like, oh, man, I wish they were running 12 months a year. No, you don't. No, you don't. My beautiful bride is up here, and my, oh, my, you are. Woo-wee. She comes out from getting, you know, her dressing room. It's beyond a closet, ladies. It's a dressing room. Okay, I've got a cubby hole and she's got a dressing room. But I'll tell you what, she's worth that dressing room. And she comes out and I say, oh my, I get to be married to this woman. Honey, can you bring a word before you pray for me?
Yeah, let me first of all thank you. From the moment we pull into this driveway, we feel so loved. And it really is like coming back home to family, just the joy in seeing one another. And so thank you. And we feel at home as well. The worship is phenomenal. I could spend the whole day listening to the worship team. And we are so proud of Pastor Slock and Gloria. I don't know where she's at, but we are just so...
There she is.
Oh, there she is. So we are so extremely proud of
Amen.
You. Look what the Lord has done through your lives, and just so, so
Amen.
Proud. I'm going to be sharing in a few weeks, I think, here. And God's been stirring something in my heart for this campus, and so I'm going to wait and share some of that prophetic thought with you then. But this morning, there's a word that you need to hear. I was thinking this morning on the way here, you know, once a year the president comes out and he shares a State of the Union address. And used to be everybody would just gather around the TV to hear the State of the Union. He always would go back to how it was founded, what we're founded on, and the principles and what we stand on. And I was thinking this morning, this is like a State of the Union. This is a State of the Church. This is a State of Victory Christian Center, and this is what we stand on. And so this morning, you're going to be blessed, and I just pray for your feel like you're gathering around that TV and listening, because every word is weighty. Would you pray with me for Bishop? Father, I thank you for this amazing man of God. Father, this morning you've placed within him not just a word, but a life. Father, that which you have taken him through the years and taught him, and Father, you've just brought us to this place for this day in history, and now he's releasing this word to the people that need to hear, this is us. Father, I just bless the anointing to flow from him. I bless ears to hear what he has to share. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I love you.
I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be with you, and I do have a word in my heart I want to share with you today. It's a word that began over four decades ago, actually, but it's something that I've learned, and if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, there should be nothing more important in your life than not simply to get to heaven, but to stand before the Lord one day and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, I want to ask you a question. Well, are you going to hear well done and good and faithful servant just because the Lord's in a good mood that day? Or how do you get that? How do you know in your heart as a follower of Jesus Christ that one day you will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant? Nothing matters more. What I'm going to share with you today, I believe, can help you to hear those words. Because what I want to share with you today are some things that I have learned in my 40-some years of walking with Christ and over 40 years of being at Victory Christian Center. We came to a little wee building in Coatesville, Ohio in 1978. There were 46 people that morning. I was 26 years old. I'd never pastored before. I'd left my job at General Motors Lordstown just a few years earlier. I'd served as a youth pastor in Trumbull County just up the road. But I came with a vision of what God had placed within my heart of what could be, that as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. Can I tell you that a part of that vision was a race that was not just, or a church that was not just white, that was not just black, that was not just Latino, but that God could demonstrate on earth the way it's going to be in heaven. Because there aren't different sections in heaven. And the title of this message is, This Is Us. You may have seen the TV program. I'm not really one who's really into TV, but our daughter convinced us a couple years ago on vacation in Chicago, Dad, Mom, you got to watch this show. And I said, I don't watch that kind of show. I watch some sports, some news, but I don't watch that kind of show. She got us to watch This Is Us. My, oh, my. Some of the best writing, some of the best acting, some of the best storylines, some of the best casting ever. And it caused me to think about Victory Christian Center, This Is Us, and to talk about a 2020 vision. See, what is vision? How did this happen? Did we just get lucky? Did we hit like the Holy Ghost lottery? And because there's a whole lot of churches in this region that over the last 40 years don't even exist anymore. That saddens us. That breaks our heart. There are very few churches, hardly any, that over these last 40 years has grown, let alone begin embryonically in a little place called Coatesville, Ohio. Nobody goes to Coatesville. Why would you go to Coatesville? Doc, unless you're in a meeting, as you were yesterday. You know what? We live in Poland. We wouldn't go to Coatesville. There's no restaurants. There's no shopping. And yet God takes a little 46 people. And at one point in Coatesville, we were like 2,400 people gathering. And then God God began to do something that now we're at 8 campus over at Coitsville today. They're baptizing 30 people in the name of the Lord who are following Jesus. Today at Warren campus, they're having the Lord's Supper. And I could name each campus, and God is doing something unique there. How did he do it? Well, we throw around this word vision. And the title of this is not only This Is Us, but a 2020 vision. Vision comes biblically from this scripture in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, amen. See, I don't wet my pants anymore when you do that. Yeah, you were the campus that I used to have to wear Depends when I would come. I'm not that old, but I an older preacher than me, one time they asked Jack Hafer, they said, listen, at your age, do you wear boxers or do you wear briefs? And he said, well, at my age, it depends. But you'll figure that out later. But where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we have this vision of 8 campuses? I had never had a vision of 8 campuses or 2 campuses or any of that. Can I be honest with you? I never had a vision of a big church. Had a vision of a healthy church. That's the truth. We've never had any background of a big church. It's not like, boy, if we had a big church, we'll become like this celebrity. No. That's almost nauseating. We serve a Jesus who washed feet of fishermen. Any of us would begin to think that we're a celebrity. We're sure missing things. But now, what does this mean when the Bible says this? Well, in the Amplified Version, it says where there is no vision, which actually means no redemptive revelation of God. So it's not about you coming up with a vision. I want to take some pressure off of you today. Because sometimes in life, we're sort of, how do I know I'll stand before the Lord one day and hear, well done and good and faithful servant? Do I have to come up with this vision and accomplish great things? And today, I'm here to give you some good news. No, you don't. But you do need to hear from God at the little things and say yes. See, because God starts in the little things. Jesus said, if you're faithful in the, say it with me, the little things, I'll give you greater. Little things are little things. Little things are just like we did the other day. I was at Giant Eagle. Had to run out. We had a meeting over there. Yesterday at Coitsville, and I wanted to get some refreshments for the, and so I went to Giant Eagle that night, and I got out, and I put the stuff in my car, and then you have this thing called a buggy, okay, and believe it or not, just putting it there next to your car, you're not just being nice for the next car that pulls in, the lie that you tell yourself, say little things. Little things is you actually take that cart, and you take it over and you put it away. You say, oh, that's so silly. You call it silly. God calls it a little thing. And so when you're faithful in the little thing, it's when the Lord speaks to you and you don't want to forgive that person. You want to hold a grudge. And the Lord speaks to you and you immediately let it go because love covers a multitude of sins. It's the little things. See, and see, that bugs some people because they say, well, you know, if God ever gives me a big thing, I'll obey him. Oh, you lie, too. Because you know that he's probably not going to ask you to walk on water or ask you to, but he'll ask you something to do, and it'll be called a little thing. And so it's about the little thing. It's about the way you treat your spouse. It's about the way you treat your neighbor. It's about the kindness that you show to that person that serves you at a restaurant, and they're not having the best day. And you treat them in a way when you understand little things that you think about. Maybe they're having a rough time and not just, okay. New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. I love the way the Message puts it. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what God reveals, they are most blessed. See, I've learned this, and I've said it many times. If you're able to discern what God is saying and obey, you will look much smarter than you really are. You know, we get our, really, around the country, we travel quite a bit, and people know about Victory. They know about you. They know about what God's done in an unlikely place of starting at Coitsville and in this greater Youngstown area. This just doesn't happen. But it has happened, and people know the story, and sometimes they'll compliment me on this one church, many locations. See, we are literally one church, not just in name. We are legally and financially one church. We own all eight facilities that we meet in. We have to use this for right now here at Liberty, you know, with the high school, but we own the building right over there. And we own buildings in each of the campuses. We don't rent anything. And that is very, very special. Because there's a difference between renting something and owning something. Jesus had a model of vision and leadership. See, as Christians, we don't have to wonder, boy, if I just had a role model. If somebody would just mentor me, well, listen, I believe in mentoring. I mentor people. But we have a role model. His name is Jesus. It's not, you know, you can learn maybe something from something good that Gandhi did or something that this man or that woman did. But listen, as followers of Jesus, we look to him. And here's what he said in John 5:19. He said, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. See, can I tell you, if you were to ask me, Bishop, how do you get direction? Right there, John 5:19. There's not a campus, as an example, that exists that we did not use that scripture in the process. At every campus, when it is said to us that they desire to become a campus, and we begin a process prayerfully, I use this scripture and I say, listen, at any point, I use Boardman as an example. At any point, we have a sense that you're trying to make this happen or we're trying to make this happen, it's a no deal. Because we don't do things. Listen, we don't do stuff and hope he blesses it. Can I tell you, a lot of Christians live their life that way. Well, I'm going to do this, and I hope God blesses it. That's a dumb way to live. You're going to wear yourself out. What if you were to quiet your heart before the Lord and prayerfully get a sense of what the Lord was saying, how the Lord is directing, and then get involved with the Lord? That's what Jesus did. You say, oh, that's so much harder. You know what? I've done it both ways. Can I tell you, it may initially seem harder, but it's a whole lot smarter. And in the long run, it's not harder because you're not always cleaning up messes. Y'all understand messes? You're not cleaning up the messes of what you thought God might bless, and he didn't. See, he's not responsible to bless what we create. Jesus said in John 3, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When the Holy Spirit gives birth to something, it's got the life and kiss and favor of God on it. Now you're talking, well, my friend Lance Wall now, he would put it this way. There's some juice on that, baby. There's some juice on that. And when God puts his secret sauce, when God puts his juice on something, you're looking good. You look better than you really are. That's the truth. That is the truth. See, Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 30, he said, I can do, golly, somebody didn't change this little clock up here. It is not 12:01, is it? No, thank you, Jesus. Well, man, I feel like I just got in here. Boy, that time flew by, didn't it? Jesus said in John 5:30, he said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. Why? Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about God in flesh. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're not God in flesh. Now, God lives in you, but you still have this carnal nature to deal with. You still have some issues. In fact, I'm going to give you something you all want to do all day long. I want you to turn to the person next to you. And tell them, you have issues. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Now, I want you to turn. Now, wait. Husband, wives, be very careful with this, okay? I was in church, and I gave permission, and there was a husband sitting there, and he knew he was going home with her. And I'm not telling her she got issues. But I've got news for you. We all have issues. Anybody think, anybody here and say, oh, I don't have any issues? You got a big issue. You are dumb enough to think you don't have issues. We all have issues. We all have issues. Well, none of us have arrived yet. The only time I arrived was when my GPS lady out of the microphone came out of that speaker, she came out and said, you have arrived. I said, glory. That's the only time I've heard the words, you have arrived, is from the GPS lady. See, Jesus declared a complete dependence upon his Father. Not partial. Not just on some days. Jesus said, without him, I can do nothing. Jesus saw, sensed, heard, and obeyed God. You got to pay attention. That's why the little things with putting the cart back, you might say, oh, it's no big deal. You know, sometime God will speak to you and say, listen, I want you to bless that person over there with $20. You think, man, I feel so stupid. I mean, I only have $22. You want me to give them $20? What? They might think that I'm, you know, just obey. Do it humbly, but obey. Because what I've learned, if you can, listen, if you can hear that still small voice, that whisper of God, and you obey, it's like you lock in to his voice. But if you disobey that still small voice, it gets more and more difficult to hear his voice. This is how the Lord, by the way, has directed Victory Christian Center for over 40 years. See, God has intentionally set vision to be dependent upon him. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Listen now, for without me, you can do nothing. Oh, you can do stuff, but you can't do anything that lasts. You can't do anything that makes a legitimate change, and especially in regards to eternity. Remember Moses and the cloud? You talk about dependence. Moses. Somebody comes up to Moses and says, Mr. Moses, yes, you know, we understand that, you know, this cloud thing, you know, the pillar of fire during the day, the pillar of fire at night, the cloud during the day, that when it moves, we move, right, yeah. You know, me and the missus, we sort of like, we've been here for a little while, you know, cloud has moved in a bit. Do you realize, church, that there were times a cloud didn't move for 2 years? You get a bit comfortable after 2 years. I mean, you got the little garden going. Come on. You're sort of getting used to this. And so you go up, Mr. Moses, you know, sort of, me and this is sort of liking this place. Sort of like to hunker down here, put some roots down here. When's the cloud going to move? I don't know. No, Mr. Moses, you're the one who went up on the mountain, got the Ten Commandments. Remember that? You saw the movie, didn't you? And by the way, he had not seen the movie, okay? Charlton Heston and the whole thing. Here's the thing, listen. Moses had no idea when the cloud was going to move. If I were to somehow be able to get your testimonies today, there are times in your life where God did it suddenly, and you didn't see it coming. And here's what I've learned in life. Those kind of suddenlies when the cloud moves. I remember in revival, there was a time where God clearly spoke to us and the cloud moved. And my wife hated that. Do you remember that, babe? She didn't want that cloud to move. She was enjoying, you know, where she was at, where we were at, where the revival spirit. And God says, cloud's going to move. But can I tell you one of the worst places to be? Is where God used to be. He's not the great I used to be. He's the great I am. Yeah. And can I tell you, in church, we can get into this religious tradition. Is this the way we do it? Well, what if the cloud moves? And God has another plan. And he's constantly adjusting and tweaking things. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, you know this verse, I can do what? All things. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. What a balance. I love it. Here Jesus says, without me, you could do nothing. And then Paul has the revelation, but in Jesus, you could do anything. I love that. The Word of God is basically this, is that without God, I cannot. But without me, he will not. See, you can just sit back on your haunches and say, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. No, he won't. No, he won't. Or you can just go ahead and do it, like I said, and hope he blesses it. But his plan is this. Without God, we cannot. But without us, he will not. There's this amazing, holy partnership. It blows my mind. Why? We have issues. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. And yet God invites us into this partnership. And listen, you're looking at your bishop today. I'm going to tell you something about me. What? What are you going to tell me? I am way over my head. What do you mean by that? I don't know what I'm doing. You say, we're in trouble. No, we're not. I don't want to follow a leader who arrogantly thinks they know what they're doing. We need men and women of God who are at the foot of the cross and saying, Jesus, you direct, you guide, you lead the way. Do you remember in reading the prophet? And the water began to rise and was up to their ankles and then knees and then waist. And then pretty soon they were over their head. We God invites us to live this life that we're over our head. That Lord, if you don't help me, I don't know how to do this. That's what he wants. Those of you that want to get comfortable, you are in serious doo-doo. Because he's not the God of comfort, he's the God of faith. He's the God who invites us to step out of the dry boat and walk on water. What's that about? I can look back at 40 years and I don't think I've ever been qualified. Never been to Bible school, never been to seminary, don't have a preacher in the family. You say, oh, but then how do you do this? I trust in him. And I try to obey in the little things. See, in biblical vision, God initiates and we respond. The Bible says that we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He initiates, we respond. That's the way to do life. Not do stuff and then, please bless what I'm doing. No. Let him speak. Let him lead. Let him guide. And listen, he is a speaking God. Go back to Genesis 1. Read how many times it says, and God said. He's still a speaking God. Are we a listening people? In October 1970, I met Jesus. Can I tell you, I had no vision to meet Jesus. In other words, it wasn't my plan, it wasn't my strategy. Oh, yeah, when I'm 19, you know, I'm going to hire in at Lordstown, and we're going to go on strike, and I'm going to go to this meeting, and I'm going to hear the gospel, I'm going to be born again. No, I had no vision, but Holy Spirit, in his wisdom and guidance, was leading. A few years later, I sat on a Saturday morning with my little daughter, Heather, in my arms, and some of you know the story about the can of corn. See, the can of corn is significant to me. Why? You like corn that much? I don't, real honestly, I don't like canned corn. I like corn on the cob. I like something fresh, but canned corn doesn't do it for me. But this can of corn did it for me. Well, why is that? Well, because we don't like debt, never have liked debt, and so I worked at Lordstown, but rather than going into debt, we had bought a sofa at the Goodwill store, and it was a really good deal. Why was it a good deal? It had a leg missing. Well, it had a leg missing. What does that have to do with a can of corn? Well, the leg that was missing was the same size as a can of corn. And so you say, you mean that you put that can of corn where the leg was supposed to be? Well, didn't that look weird? Oh, no. Y'all know what a throw is? Every lady in here knows what a throw is. So you can have a nasty, ratty sofa as long as you have a nice throw. And my wife had bought a beautiful throw and had put it over that sofa. And guess what? It hung down. And what did it hide? The can of corn. Can of corn is significant to me, though, because on that morning when I was saying to God, please use my life. And can I tell you, that day when I was saying that to God, all I meant is this: mowing the grass at church, helping with Thanksgiving, giving food away, maybe ushering, maybe helping with the sound. Preaching? You've got to be kidding me. I took a failing grade as a senior in high school rather than give an oral book report. I was not a speaker. I was backward. I was shy. You could ask my wife. I didn't like to go to parties. I didn't like to go to anything that where I had to be around people I didn't know. That morning, as I said, Lord, please use my life, God spoke to me, and he said, my son, I will. He said four words that changed my life, and I gave him the first promise that I've ever given him. I only have given God a couple promises. If you're a person that you're promising stuff to God all the time, I don't want to offend you today, but you're stupid. Quit doing that. I've only made a couple promises to God. Promises to God are really a big deal. And I said to him that day, Lord, if you use my life, I promise you this, sir, I will never, ever touch your glory. I will never take credit for what you have done. And I have done my best to keep that. But see, I didn't have a vision of all that God was going to do. I preached in 26 nations around the world. God has used my life and my wife's life way beyond what we ever imagined. We're living the dream is what we talk about. Even leaving my job at Lordstown, I had no vision. See, there's a lesson here. I didn't leave my job at Lordstown because I had a vision of something. I simply said yes. And that is the secret, my friend. The secret is not coming up with some great strategy and being able to write out some great vision and hope that God will bless it, but it is humbling your heart. See, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God, and he will do what? Direct your paths. See, decisions of obedience determine destiny. The choice of obedience rather than chance. The Bible says the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman are ordered of the Lord. David wrote and said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the next part said, he leads me. See, God wants to lead us. God wants to guide us. God wants to give us vision. Coming to Coitsville in 1978, we had an opportunity to go to Madrid, Spain, go to Phoenix, Arizona. Coitsville was not even a consideration. My Aunt Betty, who lived up the road, she heard that I might go there. She called me up and said, David, please don't go to that church. See, she had visited that church, and it was a little church, and it was not a healthy church. But it's where God called us. What's the lesson there? What the lesson is, you say yes. You don't go by your logic. Listen, Madrid, Spain, I'd never been there, but we're looking it up. Back then, there was no internet. We're looking up in the encyclopedia. Come on, help me, somebody. Some of you young people are saying, what's an encyclopedia? The pictures look great. The fountains look great. Everything looked great. And you know what? Phoenix, Arizona, the weather sounded good. Coitsville. But that's where God called us. We simply said yes. See, God's way is so much different than ours. Here we are, Victory Christian Center, one church, main locations. How did it happen? We didn't have a plan. We didn't have a strategy. We had a yes. But see, that's the way it's always been. Can I tell you, Noah didn't grow up dreaming about building an ark. He didn't go to archaeology school. He heard from God. Moses didn't always, his whole life, say, yeah, someday there's going to be this burning bush and a voice is going to come out. No, he didn't. But that burning bush got his attention, and a voice began to speak to him, and he said yes. Oh, he argued with God a little bit, and then God taught us all a great lesson in that argument. How? Because as he argued, God said this to him, what's in your hand? Do you realize God is still saying that? I don't know what you have to offer to God. I don't have a great education to offer to God. I don't have some amazing pedigree of being a fourth generation Pentecostal preacher. But what I do have, just David Thomas. I say, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. And I promise you, sir, if you will use my life in any way, any shape, any form. Wait, why am I saying that? Because listen, this didn't start being bishop. This started going into a stinky nursing home in Trumbull County and preaching to three people, two of which you weren't sure were alive. Why am I saying, and that's the truth. And you go in and you preach your guts out to those three people in that nursing home as if it was 300,000 in a stadium somewhere. Those of you that are waiting for some grand opportunity and you lie to yourself, you say, if God gives me the grand opportunity, I shall obey him. Oh, shut up. Now, those of you that are young, I shouldn't be saying shut up. I apologize, you know. Your parents say, don't say shut up, and then the bishop says, shut up. I'm sorry, but shut up. Quit telling yourself that lie. Why? Because life is going by. Life is flying by, and that big thing's never coming. But every day, God is giving you little things. Won't get your name in the bulletin. Won't get you a plaque. But when you tune into his voice, wow. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I want to close this today, skipping over a few things, because I want to show you the church that you're a part of. Because, see, it's not just Liberty Campus. You're here at Liberty Campus, but you're part of a bigger family. And it's fun. When we come together, it's like a big old family reunion. Now, I warn you, there's some weird people in the family. I'm just saying. Everybody look at me for a second. Some of you just, like, zoned out there. Now, there's weird people in your family. Can I be real honest with you? And some of your relatives, they say you're the weird one in the family. I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt feelings. I'm just being honest. We're all a bit weird. We all have some issues. That's why don't judge people real quickly. You don't know them. You never walked in their shoes. Don't judge real quickly, okay? Just let it alone. Life's way too short for all that nonsense. When we came 40 years ago, Jesus had planted in the heart of a 26-year-old this truth. To remember who owns, builds, and is the head of the church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, can I tell you, the church you're a part of is built on that verse. It's not my church. It's not my wife's church. It's not the Beecham's church. It's not any other. It's Jesus' church. And that has to be more than theory. And when I'm around preachers and they begin to act as if it's their church, I said, bro, show me the nail prints in your hands. Because Psalm 100 still says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. No preacher owns you. We love you. We're called to disciple you. We're called to speak into your life. But we do not own you. You are owned by the master. We learn to fish where, when, and how Jesus directs us. See, when in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, when Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, say nevertheless. At your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. That's called kingdom-mindedness, by the way. Any church that thinks they're the only church in town, that's just so ridiculous. Come on. There's all kinds of people we need to reach for Jesus, and we need the Baptists and the Nazarenes and the Catholics and the this and the that. They might do it a little bit different, but if they're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead, we're for them. If you ever get around a church that begins to claim that they're the only ones, get your butt out of there. Oh, my. I said, shut up now. I said, but. She'll wash my mouth out with soap later, okay? Get out of there. You shouldn't be in a place that is that dumb. When I worked at Lordstown, I worked with a guy from Niles, Ohio, and there were about 26 people in that church, and they truly believed they were the only church on earth going to heaven. Now, you got to be pretty stupid. There's the third word. But, you know, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago for 26 people in Niles, Ohio to go to heaven. Get out of there. God's got a big family. And there's... And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. We believe in abundance mentality rather than scarcity. Why do I say that? Because we came in... when we came 40 years ago, listen, you're supposed to have a bus program, and you're supposed to run gimmicks to make your church grow, and we just never did that stuff. You say, what have you done for 40 years? Preach Jesus and Him crucified. Love people... Love God, love people, love life. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it authentic. Don't play a game. When you mess up, you fess up. Just keep it real. Jesus either is going to build His church or He's not. And if you're going to build it and hope He blesses it, then it's not His, it's yours. Somebody let out a shout, would you? I'm just in a shouting mood. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days and was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, no, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Here's what we've always wanted. May the news be in the community that Jesus is in the house. Not that our preacher is the best preacher. I want every one of our preachers to be great preachers, but I don't want it to be about that. I want us to have the best nurseries and the best children's ministries and the best youth ministries and the best worship teams. But God help us that we never say, oh, yeah, we're growing because we got this or we got that. No. Keep your hands off of that. Have the best at all of that. Don't you give credit to that. Don't. So then that's building the church. If that's building the church, as soon as Sister Tiddlywinks gets upset and leaves, and well, then the church falls apart. How many times have we seen that? How many times have we seen churches grow and then evaporate? But when Jesus is in the house, do not ever touch His glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God. I love the but gods of the Bible. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. See, now Victory is this big church. Can I tell you, over there in Coitsville, as we began to grow, we were called the Hillbilly Church. Now, I was born in Roaring Spring, Pennsylvania. I understand hillbilly. All of my relatives, we're from the hills of PA. Coal mining is our background. We're known as the Jesus People Church. We're on the wrong side of town. There was no logical reason. In fact, they were going to shut down our church for years. There was five people going to that church. It was called Providence Chapel. They were going to shut it down. Now, what changed? It sure enough wasn't the Thomases. Yes, we came, but we came with something that God was saying to us. See, because golly, it would nauseate us to think that, well, you know, it's about the Thomases. Oh, I get it. God uses people. But we just read what kind of people he uses. Ordinary people who say yes to an extraordinary God. Oh, do we give our best? Oh, we work hard and we really work at staying pure and staying clean. But it's him. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. We say that's loving God completely. And then Jesus said, the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. For the entire law and all the demands of the prophet are based on these two commandments. Why reinvent this? Look at me, folks. Why would we reinvent this? When the master is asked, what matters most to God? Do you think that's, we better pay attention? What matters most to God? Well, what matters most to God is that you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. Notice what he wants is love. This whole thing's about love. That's why Paul wrote, now abides these three. Say them with me. Faith, hope, and love. Say it with me. But the greatest of these is love. That's another thing we got faulted for. Oh, victory. Love, love, love. It's all they talk about over there. It's love, love, love. I say, bring it on. Some people think, they actually think they're criticizing us. But I don't care if you're casting out, you know, 900 demons off of a pimple. If you don't have love, who gives a rip? There's guys that can preach the lights out, but they don't live right. Oh. Keep it simple. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul said, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Can I tell you, the larger something gets, and I know something about this, there's a pressure on the leader, especially the key leader. Man, you're important now. I remember at Victory when church began to grow, and we're just bunch of ordinary folks. And I remember telling the church when it was really small and was all white, I said, listen, this is not going to be a white church. Now, we're in Coitsville. But I say, well, this is not going to be a white church. And if you're prejudiced, you got to get saved. Because you cannot possibly have a heart right with God and a heart wrong with people. Everybody look at me. Listen, prejudice goes in different ways. It's just not white against black. It's black against white. It's Latinos in there, Asians in there, education's in there. So don't y'all fool with me today like, oh, yeah, you give it to white folk. Don't you do that. Prejudice comes in a lot of ways. But I don't play a game. I don't play a game. I remember, and I'm closing here, but I remember our first African-American sister that came in and stayed. Oh, we'd have folks visit, but Kim Smith, she came in and stayed. And she told us later, she said she brought her mama with her. And she said, boy, we dressed nice. She said, we knew this was primarily a white church, and we wanted y'all to know we know how to dress. I'm quoting her. And he said, then I came a few weeks and I started looking around. And I thought, I'm not going to find any husband here. Kim has been a part of our church for nearly 40 years. And a few years back, she almost died because she needed a kidney. And we made the announcement one Sunday morning. We said, listen, this is Kimberly and we love her. She's like a daughter to us. And she's dying and she doesn't get a kidney. And a married white man with four kids on the other side of the church who had never met Kimberly, God spoke to him and said, you give your kidney to the nurse Kimberly. He said yes, but then his second thought was, my wife's in the nursery today. How do I tell her that I'm giving up my kidney? He gave that kidney, and And Kimberly is doing well. See, this thing has to be real. Final verse, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Instead, Paul says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his church, the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that why? The whole body, say it with me, is healthy and growing and full of love. That's the goal. Brought a flashlight today. We've used a flashlight a lot this week in the Thomas home. Our electricity went off on Thursday night at 10 o'clock. I will admit to you, I don't wake up every day and thank God for electricity. But boy, did we miss it. We had no heat in our house and we had flashlights. Thankfully, one of our dear sons in the faith brought a generator over the other day and wired up, got some heat. We were able to put away the flashlights. We got a light too. What's important about a flashlight? As I close today, flashlights are interesting because my mind goes back to just up the road in Hartford, Ohio, where I grew up. My dad liked to fish. My brother-in-law liked to fish, and I learned to really enjoy fishing. And we'd go out and buy worms or buy minnows. You know, we went out on warm summer nights with a flashlight and in the grass when it was, hey man, those night crawlers, those gooey, warm, wet, nasty, smelly night crawlers. I can still remember them trying to go down in the hole as I was a kid pulling up on them. And boy, isn't that a delightful thought just before lunch? But see, there's something about a flashlight that relates to our kind of faith at Victor Christian Center. See, we didn't have a vision for 40 years. I'd never known a preacher to be at a church hardly longer than 5 years when we came. That would have been a long-term pastor. That pastor didn't stay, hardly ever. So we didn't have a vision for 40 years. We didn't have a vision for 8 campuses. You say, what did you have? We had flashlight faith. And see, I've learned the best way to live is flashlight faith. God gives you a little bit of light. And what you do is you look at that light and you step into it and suddenly there's a little bit more light. And so in that little bit more light, you step into that and suddenly there's a little bit more light. See, some people want, they want the kind of flashlight that they can see 5 years off and 10 years off. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having a 5-year goal or 10-year goal, but I can tell you, hardly ever does much of any of it pan out. Nothing wrong with it. We're just, what, about 6 weeks away from New Year's resolutions. I quit making them a long time ago. I really did. What I do now is I say, Lord, would you help me 365 days next year to say yes? Can you stand to your feet? I want to close this way. You know, in this campus, as we understand, for right now, thank God for this beautiful room that we can meet in here at the high school. And there's so many things about this room that, boy, it feels like church. Except for the altar space. You know, I think, you know, a few of you brothers, if you happen to own a chainsaw, we could come in, not tell them, and just sort of cut away some space up here. Oh, we'll move back, but then we'd have more altar space. But somehow that tells me that wouldn't be a good witness to the Liberty School system. So don't bring the chainsaw. But here's what I would like. As we close right now, I want to ask you a question. It's not a complicated question, but it is very real. Are you willing to give God your yes? Now, don't answer too quickly. I mean yes to anything. Because, see, you cannot give your yes to God partially. You've got to give your yes to Him in a wholehearted way. I knelt down in our living room at our first little house. I was about 22 years old. And I knelt down and I said my yes to God. I felt like God had been dealing with my heart for complete surrender. And I was afraid. I'm just being honest with you. I wasn't raised up in church. I was new at walking with Christ. And here was my thought. God was wanting me to do a complete surrender because it was almost like God was saying, I've got you now. And in the back of my mind, Pastor, in the back of my mind, I knew God was going to send me and my family off to jungle and South America or Africa or somewhere. Oh, we're going to preach. They're going to get malaria and die, but it's all for the glory of God. That was really, honestly, what was in my mind. That was a lie from the pit of hell. See, Satan will fight you and try to convince you that, oh, you don't want to make a complete surrender. Because just like a little fly sits and does this, God is saying, ha, 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 I got you now. That's the devil who's out to steal, to kill, to destroy. Our God is a good father. He's a good father. Moms and dads, when you say your kids, trust me, you don't say that because, oh, I got you now. Now that you really trust me, I'm going to do something to make your life horrible. No. You say, listen, I'm your dad. I'm your mom. You can trust me. God is trustworthy. And when you say yes, He has things ahead of you way better than you doing stuff hoping He'll bless it. So every person today that you are willing to offer your yes to God completely, maybe you're giving your heart to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you've been a backslider and you're coming back and you're bringing Him your yes. Or maybe you're the most committed Christian in this building, but you say, you know what? I want to live that way. I want to live that way of simplicity of giving God my yes. So every one of you, even though there's not a lot of room down here, even though we'll fill the aisles, I want to close the service before we do the blessing with you coming forward and giving your yes. And I don't know if we could do a song of some sort. You know, that song that says yes. I don't know what it is. But would you begin to come even now? And honey, can you come this way with Bob? Can you begin to come if you're willing to bring your yes to God? Come on. Come on. Come on. Jesus.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell,
I must not have explained myself well.
That you're pleased, and I'm,
are you willing to say yes to God? Or would you rather say no? If you're willing to say yes, I want you to come right now. And I would presume that most of you in this room are Christians. And so, I don't want to beg you. I'm going to say that I must not have explained it well. Because if you don't know Jesus and you don't want to serve Jesus and you'd rather say no to Jesus, then don't move. But if you say, I love Jesus, and He's given His all to me, I want to give my all to Him, then move, then come. Let's do that again. What a beautiful song.
I've heard thousands of stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whispers of love.
Say yes to him.
In the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone.
Sing it, sing it, sing it.
Your good Father, who you are, to who you are, to who you are, and I'm loved by you.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
It's who I am. Your good Father,
it's who you are.
It's who you are.
Give him everything. Give him everything.
Savior, you're a good, good father. It's who you
He's
are.
A good father.
It's who you are.
He loves you, cares
it's
about
you.
You. Blessing of you. I want you to look at me. That is such the perfect song to close this service. Here's why. If you get a revelation of how deeply and genuinely he loves you with agape unconditional love, I've actually had people say to me, well, oh, but if God really knew everything about me, he wouldn't love me. I say, well, number one, he does know everything about you. He knows you better than you know you. Do you understand that? In fact, I don't know if it brings any comfort to your heart, but I say to God at times, I'm glad God knows me when I don't know me. Because if you live long enough, you'll go through some stuff. Say stuff. That you're little, like really struggling inside. Who am I right now? But he knows who you are. And he'll bring you through. He's a good, good father. But you have to have a revelation that he is good, and that his character is good, his heart is good. You say, well, then why do I go through bad stuff? Because we're not in heaven, we're on a fallen planet. And there's bad stuff around. But here's the deal. When we belong to him, listen to this clearly. He brings us through the stuff. He doesn't leave us there. It feels a lot longer than we wish it was. But there's not a person, if there's anyone in this room and you've got some character, you didn't get it cheap. You got that character because you walked with God through some stuff. That's how you get it. Listen, we love you. I want you to live a life that says yes to him. Live a life of simplicity. Live a life where nothing matters more than that still small voice. And listen to me. Do the little things. The little thing I do, and I enjoy doing it. I hardly ever leave the room that my wife is in that I don't say to her before I go, honey, is there anything I can get you? You say, well, that's silly. No, it's a little thing. You say, well, that must be because she's got you henpecked. No, you don't know me or her well if that's your foolish thinking. See, I'm a strong man. And the strongest man who I've ever heard of washed feet and said these words, even as the Son of Man came into the world, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I'll never be a stronger man. I'll never be a better husband. I'll never be a better child of God than when I love to serve. I love to bless and help. That's strength. You don't do it because you have to. Did you ever bless somebody and they say, oh, you don't have to do that? Here's what I told them. I said, listen, if I had to do this, it wouldn't be any fun. I choose to do this. So keep your eyes open. We want to speak a blessing over you. You folks are so wonderful. We just want to hang out with you, but I know we need to get out of here. Keep your eyes open. You had your pastor's blessing. Now, as Bishop and Pastor Kathy and First Lady Glory, we want to speak a blessing over you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name which is above every name, we close this service today. We bless you in that name. May you bring your yes to Him, not just today, but every day. May you live a life of simplicity. May you live a life that says every day that you love God completely, you love others unconditionally, and you live life and you love life enthusiastically. May you bring your yes to God, and may it be a yes in the little things, and then He will bless you with greater things. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, can we give the Lord a hand of praise for His goodness?